Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're going through with our series on spiritual warfare. And today we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 14, which breaks into three very dramatic parts. The first is 144,000. The second are three angels proclaiming a terrifying gospel from the heavenly realms to the inhabitants of earth. We have the reaping of the earth, the two harvests, where the angels harvest the people of the earth. So before we go into this very interesting chapter and look at how God operates, let us pray. Father in heaven, make your word come alive to us today. Give it relevance, give it strength, and help your word to give guidance to us and how we should live. And let us know a little bit more about you, O Lord, after we've finished today's session. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read this chapter. It's 20 verses, Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the seas and springs of waters." And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." And another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labours, for their deeds follow with them." And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap, because the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. And another angel, the one who has power over fire, came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Put in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe." And the angel swung his sickle to the earth, and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth, and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. So this is very dramatic. And we see angels coming and going all over the place here, giving various commands. So we find that angels have quite a bit of authority. They're ordering these judgments, and the Spirit of God inside them is telling them what to say and what to do. And the angels are orchestrating the end times. And even Jesus in his parable says the angels come over the earth and they take out the elect from the earth and bundle up the wicked for judgment. So at the end times, the angels will be very busy. They'll have a lot to do. They're preparing for it now. They're preparing for the spiritual crisis of the end of the age. And then they know who's a god. So they're going around marking this person here belongs to Jesus. Then that person here belongs to Jesus. And these people over here, they're wicked ones. And they will be harvested and cast into the winepress of the wrath of God. Now, I see two different resurrections here. The first resurrection is the harvest of the earth of the righteous. And they are taken off the earth here in Revelation 14. And they're up there in heaven as the 144,000. And they are the first fruits of God. And they are ascend into heaven and they're taken out of the way. The second harvest is the harvest of the wicked. And it's the harvest of the earth, of those that are earth dwellers. Throughout Revelation, it talks about earth dwellers. The earth dwellers are in rebellion against God. They're in the here and now. They're only focused on the next 5 minutes, the next 24 hours, on this life here on earth. So the earth is seen as a wicked place in the book of Revelation, and the earth dwellers are those who take the mark of the beast. Here we have the harvest of the earth is the harvest of the wicked, and they are cast into the winepress of the wrath of God. So let's start back at the beginning of the chapter. We have these 144,000, and they're rather mysterious. They learn this new song. They have a very high level of spirituality. They're among the worshippers who are in there in heaven. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and they've been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie is found in their mouth, and they are blameless. And there's a controversial bit here in verse 4. These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. Now, there's nothing wrong with women. God saves women. God loves women. There's nothing wrong with marriage. So what's the women here? What's it a symbol of? And in some cases, we're talking about spiritual adultery. And so the women can symbolize idols or the occult or witchcraft. And we find that as we get into the New Age and into deceptive spirituality, it's often witches that are running the show. They're the fortune tellers. They're the ones with the crystal balls. They're the ones who talk about having these spiritual intuitions and a third chakra opened and things like that. And so my hypothesis, and if you disagree with it, that's fine. My hypothesis is the women here are occultic beings of some sort that are deceiving the earth at the time. They're female occultic beings that lead people astray, lead them to worship the image of the beast. And they have tremendous power over people's hearts and minds. And they have huge followings. And these 144,000 have kept away from these deceptive women that were working in the occult with spells and magic charms. So that's the way I see it. Now, there are other interpretations that they are actually virgins. But that interpretation makes women a bad thing. And I don't think the Bible says that at all. The Bible honors marriage and honors women and calls women co-heirs of eternal life with us. So I'm very hesitant to say that people are defiled by marriage or defiled by women because God says it's not good to be alone. So, and another interpretation is that women are just idols themselves. They're, you know, the actual idols, statue of Mary or something like that. So I don't think these are actual women. That's what I'm saying. And that's the way I see the interpretation here. So it's no lies found in their mouth. They're blameless. And as we saw last week, when we looked at Revelation 13, the requirement for those who survive the tribulation is that they love the truth so to be saved. So no lie is found in their mouth. They are people that have loved the truth. They are truthful. And they have never sworn anything to a foreign god. They are absolutely righteous people who are devoted to God. And there's 144,000 of these tribulation saints have been selected by God during the end times. And these are special people of exceptional spiritual purity who are selected for the end times. Now, various Christian groups and cults have said, we are the 144,000, our leader's the leader of the 144,000. I don't think any of those groups are correct. I think they're just making things up. These are end time saints. They come out of the tribulation. They come out of the persecution and the war on the saints that's revealed in Revelation 13. And they have been harvested by God as the first fruits from the earth. And they're part of the first harvest that we see when that angel puts in the sickle to the earth. Okay, so these are the 144,000. At this point, in Revelation 14, I think we have a mid-tribulation rapture. Why do I say that? Because in verse 6, the church is certainly not there. Verses 6 to 13, angels have to proclaim the gospel. So we find these three mighty angels going around, flying around in mid-heaven, speaking to everyone on earth with three great words of warning. And this is the eternal gospel. And the angels are proclaiming it into people's minds and hearts and spirits. And the earth is full at this time, the earth is full of people who don't believe. And these are wicked people. And they're all turning away to follow the image of the beast. And anyone who tries to share the gospel is getting their head cut off. And so the church is out of the way. The church cannot proclaim the gospel anymore, even their love and their good deeds. The deception is so great that the whole world is following after the beast and the image of the beast and taking the mark of the beast and getting very rich. But it's solving the problems of today, but it's not solving the problems of eternity. And so these three angels go throughout the earth. And here's the first one. It's a very important verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the seas and springs of waters. So this angel is preaching the gospel of the Creator God. The gospel, this is the simplest possible gospel that can be preached. And so it says, believe in the God who made the heavens and the earth and the seas and the springs of water. And evolution is an attack on this. It says there's no God that made the earth and the heavens and the seas and springs of water. It says it all evolved. It's all random. And so the Antichrist will be talking about evolution, be talking about a world that's just come together out of nothing. And the Antichrist will be supported by people who put forward this theory of evolution or atheistic evolution and say there's no God that created this heaven and the earth. Now, I have a science degree in chemistry, and I looked into science very deeply. My wife's got a PhD in modernity, and both of us are believers, because when we look into the design of things, and when my scientist friends look into the design of things, they say, this is too complicated, this is too wonderful, there has to be a God. And I remember when I did something called X-ray crystallography, which involved some maths called group theory, and it was so orderly and so beautiful that I was astonished at the glory and beauty of God. There are plenty of scientists who believe, but there are some scientists who are in service of Satan. And those scientists believe in their own minds and their own hearts. They don't want God over them at all. They believe in their own intellect, and they preach evolution. And this angel is saying, no, there's no evolution. There is a God. Worship the God, the Creator God, who made heavens and earth and the seas and the springs of water. And so this Creator God, who created everything, all the material parts of the universe, he is the one there to worship. And if you notice in the book of Revelation, judgment is always through nature. It's always through plagues and meteors crashing into the earth, locusts coming out of the pit. There is no judgment through the human order. The judgment is always through nature itself, through God, who is in control of the universe, is sending darkness and plagues upon the kingdom of the beast, upon the wicked city. So God is the God in charge of nature, and his hour of judgment has come. And the first angel is saying, worship God, worship this Creator God. There was one Creator God. Throw away your idols. Don't believe in this image of the beast. Believe in the one true Creator God. Second angel. And another angel, a second one, followed saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. At this point, This kingdom called Babylon the Great will have taken over the whole world. It will be very prosperous, and they will sell even the bodies and souls of men and women, and all sorts of gold and fancy things will be sold, and the earth will seem to be suddenly very prosperous, and everyone will say, peace is upon us. We're suddenly really rich. This is great. But of course, it's all built on a lie. It's built on devil worship. And eventually, Babylon is judged in a single hour, and the traitors stand off at the distance and watch this city burn. And here this angel is saying, in a prophetic way, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. And Babylon is very closely associated with the ancient city of Rome, which ruled over the world at this time. And in the end times, we don't know what city will be designated as Babylon, but it will also be a city that sits on seven hills. And there's a few candidates for that, such as the city of what used to be called Constantinople. It's now Istanbul, and it also is on seven hills. And we have several cities around the world that are possible candidates for that. So we find that God himself has set this Babylon kingdom up, and it is against God. It's wicked, and it's getting people to sin. And it says, made the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. It's very, very wicked. It's a sinful, cruel, and a terrible place. And this Babylon is about to fall. It's about to be burned. And anyone associated with Babylon is going to be judged as well, which is why it says, come ye out of her, lest you participate of her sins. So all the Christians have to flee out from this spiritual Babylon, lest we suffer the judgment that's going to come upon her. And there's times we have to walk away from unjust prosperity. We have to say, no, that's not me. I'm not going to be involved in that business. I'm not going to take that bribe. I'm not going to offer that bribe. And you have to walk away from Babylon and all the wickedness of it. Okay, the third angel. And another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God in their faith in Jesus. So here this third angel says, if you take the mark of the beast, you are going to hell. You will have no rest. You will be tormented forever and ever. There is a hell, and those who worship the beast and take the mark of the beast will be cast down into it. And there are terrible judgments throughout the book of Revelation on those that take the mark of the beast. But there's going to be so much pressure. There'll be military pressure. There'll be martyrdom. There'll be economic pressure. There'll be all sorts of lies and deceit and things that will dazzle people to worship the beast. And it'll seem impossible to resist the temptation. And people will have to flee away into the wilderness to get away from all the pressure that's going to be put on Christians at this time. But God will deliver the Christians. Some will go through martyrdom. Others will be raptured. Others will be just hidden out of the way. But there'll be tremendous pressure and this warning here. If you give in, if you take the mark of the beast, if you consciously take it, not accidentally take it, if you consciously take it, you'll know what you're doing. You say, I give up. These people will say, I give up. I don't want this. This is too hard. I'll go take the mark of the beast. And they wander off. It's the worst thing that you can do is to take the mark of the beast and to deny God and to walk away from God for money and for convenience and to get rid of the pressure. The Christian life can be tough. That's why it says here, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Don't walk away from Jesus in order to be part of the world. Do not walk away from Jesus for money, for prosperity. Don't bow down before the idols of greed and mammon. Don't be afraid of people with all their guns. And we know the church is terribly persecuted in places like Nigeria and Kenya and other places in Africa. We know of these things. We know of the terror and slaughter that has come upon Christians all around the world, especially in North Korea. And they have to stand up and they have to say, no, I will believe in Jesus. And apparently up to 70% of Christians in North Korea are martyred. It might even be higher than that. So it's a terrible thing to be a Christian in some parts of the world. But God will give you the strength through the Holy Ghost. If you cry out to him for grace in time of need, he will give it, and you'll be able to withstand all those temptations. Whatever you do, do not take the mark of the beast. Do not bow down to his image. Down to verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, because why? Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. So here it says it's easier to die. It's easier just to go and die in the Lord, be a martyr, and go to heaven, and you'll have a rest from all the temptations and pressures of the tribulation. So the martyrs will have a sense of relief, and they will rest in the Lord when they go to be with him. And then, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. A sickle is like a giant reaping hook, or it's like a knife on a stick, and it's curved. And that sickle you can use for reaping grapes or reaping wheat or whatever. It's an agricultural implement, but this time it's symbolic. It's symbolic of God reaping the earth. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, because the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. This is the first reaping. This is the reaping of the saints of God. So they don't have to go through the Revelation 16 judgments, the bowl judgments, which are absolutely catastrophic across the earth, and which destroy Babylon and everything else. The saints are not there for the Revelation 16 judgment. Here they're being pulled out of the tribulation, and they're put up to the clouds of heaven, and they're being taken out of the way. They will sing the songs of heaven. 144,000 will be their leaders. There'll be a multitude that no man can count in heaven. That is the first reaping, the first harvest. And that's the first resurrection. And we should be counted worthy of that because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's either what you call a first resurrection or the rapture, whichever, but it's in the middle of the tribulation. It's after chapters 13, just towards the end of chapter 14. So quite a bit's gone on. But in the final part of the tribulation, they're not going to be there because God's going to pour out terrible wrath on the face of the earth. And then, verse 17, and another angel came out of the temple, not the first angel. And one, the other one was on the first angel with the sickle is on a white cloud. The second angel with a sickle is coming out of the temple. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. So this one isn't on a cloud. This one's, we're going to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. This one is coming out of the temple of God, which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. And another angel, the one who has power over fire, and fire is associated with judgment and burning, came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, put in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. Now in Revelation, earth is always negative. The earth dwellers, those who dwell upon the earth, they're all the ones that run after the Antichrist. So we have earth dwellers and we have those who dwell in heaven and who have a heavenly orientation. So we have to have our minds set on things above, not on things of the earth. So these are the earth dwellers. The angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters of the vine of the earth and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles, for a distance of about 200 miles. Well, I suppose the horse's bridles is 4 feet, and the blood came out of the winepress like a great river for 200 miles. And that is billions and billions of people's blood. I worked out years ago, I think, the volume of all that and had a guess at it, and I think it was equivalent to the blood of 5 billion people or something like that. So all these people are thrown into the winepress. They worship the beast. The earth is devastated. The judgment has come. And all these people that have taken the mark of the beast, they suffer the wrath of God. And they're absolutely slaughtered. And the blood comes out, either literally or symbolically, for a distance of 200 miles. It sounds like it's fairly literal. This might be the blood shed by the final battle of Armageddon that goes over the earth. So we see in these verses that the angels are carrying out the judgments of God on the earth. The time has come. And all these angels have a certain time and dominion in which they act. And so we find one thing we can observe about God here is that God has an appointed time for everything. He knows who are going to be in heaven, and he knows who's going to be in hell. He knows what's happening in the sequence of things on earth. And this angel will do this, and this angel will do that, and this one will give orders, and this one will put in the sickle, this one will prepare the gospel. God has everything beautifully organized. And in the chaos of the end times, we will think that God's lost control. God hasn't lost control at all. I'm here in America during the time of coronavirus. We're all locked down. The churches were shut down for Easter. It seems like God is being pushed out of our society very rapidly. Pastors are being arrested for holding services. And there is a tremendous hatred of God being released in America at the moment, and perhaps in your countries as well. So the end times hatred of the church is beginning. We may be at the very, very beginning of the tribulation even now. And God himself is going to deliver us. He's got it organized. And God is not a fool. God is not disorganized. God is not caught by surprise. And there are those who love the truth that they will be saved. Those who hold the testimony of Jesus, they will be saved. Those who are pure in conduct, they will be saved. And there are others who delight in wickedness, who don't want truth, who just want the immediate gratification of being part of everyone else, like everyone else. Oh, my neighbor went and took the mark of the beast, so will I. No, don't do that. Don't go along with the crowd. Don't go along and march to the beat of the drum. When people tell you to obey the beast, defy them and go in the opposite direction. You don't have to obey a wicked government, and that's what it will be. It will be a wicked government. So when it comes, a lot of people say, oh, look, Romans 13, obey the government. This will be an idolatrous government, a government that sets itself up over people and demands worship. So in the end times, you're to be strong, you're to be brave, you're to have the patient endurance of the saints, and you want to be in that group that's in heaven. You want to be having glory. You want to be able to rest from your works. You want God to be proud of you and to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So you are going to be a person of endurance, a person of strength, a person of faithfulness. You need to get your Bible out now to strengthen yourself. You don't want to be struggling to find your Bible and remember your Bible verses in the end times. The Bibles might be burnt by then. They might all be gone. They might be taken off the internet. Who knows what's going to happen? It has to be in your heart and in your mind. And you need to learn of God now, and you need to get together. You need to resolve to obey the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, signing off. God bless you all. Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.